from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you'll ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving. Welcome to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Honey, what are you going to rant about today? Can we get a little preview?
You know, today's show might just be the greatest show ever in the history of Smalley Marriage Radio. I mean, I can't even begin to even explain the level of insight that you're going to get on today's show because of the guest I have. I have in studio with me live one of my dear friends. Okay, you're not that close.
Not that close.
You're like an acquaintance.
Maybe one deer.
One deer? A deer friend?
Yeah, not deer, but maybe just deer.
Would deer acquaintance, would that work?
Deer acquaintance, a very close acquaintance.
Yeah, very close.
Acquaintance.
But I have in studio Mr. Seth, not McFarlane, not Seth Rogen.
No.
What is your last name?
Johnson. That's how much of a...
Of course it is. So you're like plain vanilla, just Seth Johnson.
Well, there's a Michael sandwiched in there.
Really?
A Seth Michael Johnson.
Man, I did not know your middle name was Michael.
Oh, that's because we're not dear acquaintances. That's... We're only dear acquaintances.
Yeah. We got to go deeper. And it's going to happen on this show.
Oh, we're going deeper.
But just so everyone knows, when I asked Seth, hey, you know, like, is there a particular song, maybe a sound bite that you'd like to come on the show to, this is actually a, well, let me just let you hear it for yourself.
Enjoy it.
This wouldn't be the new U2 song.
Oh, it is, in fact, the best band.
I'm just going to suggest that that's a little bit megalomaniac of you.
How so?
Well, I mean, are you really worthy of a U2 intro song?
No, but who is?
Yeah, that's fair. They're my favorite band.
Oh, mine as well. How many tours have you gone to?
I don't want to talk about that.
Because it's a big goose egg?
It's a big goose egg. I've never been able to. I tried to go to the one in South Africa in Johannesburg.
Okay, kind of shooting high there.
No, I was there. But
okay.
Apparently those shows sell out super quick. So couldn't get tickets. And then they were here in Houston, and I was gone.
Oh.
And so I just keep missing them.
The last two times I've seen them has been in Houston.
Really?
The 360 tour last time, and then Vertigo prior to that.
I just know if I could just meet Bono, we'd be best friends.
You know what? I kind of had the same feeling, so maybe we should meet him together.
I think that increases our chances.
Oh, clearly.
Because I don't think he'll be freaked out at all.
Bono.
So if you're listening, and if you've actually stayed tuned in to this show today, you might be wondering, what in the world? This is the Smalley Marriage Podcast. What in the world are these guys eventually going to get to? And actually, I do genuinely believe it's quite important because Seth got married 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You were how old?
30 years old.
And your lovely bride was?
Should we say? Okay, 35.
35. That's okay. Maybe she'll never listen to it.
Yeah. Shh.
So you're kind of that normal couple, because the average person today gets married at about 29.
Yes.
And so that was you for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this your wife's first marriage?
Yes.
All right. So it's both of your first marriages. Mm-hmm. All right. So you got married a little bit older because, you know, we used to, even 70 years ago, we got married at 14.
That's crazy.
I know. That's just 70 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is not ancient past.
Though I'm not sure there's a whole lot of improvement between 14-year-old Seth and 30-year-old Seth.
I you know what? I could agree. I could agree with you on that. Is there a difference? Well, you're taller. That's about
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
Emotionally, my wife keeps telling me that, yes, I'm still...
Right.
Low.
Trapped.
Low. But couples wait now longer than ever before in history to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to talk about today is sort of, we're going to unpack Seth's relationship and... We're going to focus on the things that are important to do before you get married. And we're going to talk about and learn a little bit, what do you do to stay healthy while married, and if you fit into that category, if you fit into that age group, or you waited until your late 20s or early 30s to get married, what does that mean, and are there any unique struggles? So let me ask you, Seth, what was your first year like? And we haven't even said your wife's name.
No.
You didn't even say it.
I didn't, because I didn't quite get her permission for this yet, so I didn't know.
Oh, but so you're hoping.
We'll just call her Shauna.
We'll just call her, that'll be her stage name, her radio name.
Yeah, her radio name and real name, but Shauna, it'll be very easy
to
remember.
We'll just pretend and say it's Shauna.
Fantastic. All right.
So
we'll just say it's with a U instead of a W like it really is.
Not that makes all the difference in the world.
Clearly.
No one will know who we're talking about now. So let me ask you this, man. How long did you guys date before you got married?
We did not date very long. We started dating at the end of April, got engaged July 3rd, and then married December 29th.
Okay.
All within the same year.
Now, you didn't read one of our first two books that my wife and I wrote, did you?
No.
Like Don't Date Naked or More Than a Match?
No.
Wow. Because you literally almost followed the identical timeline that we had.
Really?
Yeah, dude. We started dating in July, got engaged in September, and married in December.
Holy cow.
So we actually went faster than you did.
That's impressive.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Your friends that are in your age group, is that typical? Are they all kind of meeting and...
Most of my friends that have gotten married around the same age is actually been like that.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say my friends that got married like when we were in college or right after college, but the later in life, yeah, it's been quicker.
Why do you think that is?
I think because people just tend to know what they want at that point, and there's less,
maybe less insecurity, or you've met someone, you're older, you're wiser, you're more mature, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, and less likely to put up with stuff that you don't like, and it's not going to be, like, long-term. You know, like, you can see through things that traits that you don't want or do want are either worth breaking up the relationship for or fighting for.
That's interesting. So are you saying you kind of, there might even be, it might be quick to get married, but it's also... maybe quick to break up as well in this age genre.
I'd say so.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and some of you listening might not know this statistic, but actually one of the highest risk factors of divorce is age of which you get married. So the younger you are when you get married, the more likely your relationship or marriage is going to end in divorce.
Really?
So Amy and I were 21 and 22.
Could not imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I look back on that. Well, I mean, the reality is our first year of marriage was miserable.
Really?
Oh, I wasn't ready. We didn't do any premarital education. My father, who's this world-famous marriage expert, did nothing. Nothing. He just got caught up in the love story, and nobody said nothing about, okay, once you say I do, things tend to get a little more intense.
Yeah.
So we didn't know. We just assumed it was always going to be as easy as it was in our dating life.
Okay.
I'm curious, what was your experience? So you're older, wiser, you knew right away this is a chick that I can spend the rest of my life with. So you get married under, what was that? How many months was that? 6 months? Under 6 months?
Between dating and marriage?
Yeah, like April and December. So 7 months?
Yeah, 8 months.
Eight? Yeah.
Yeah.
You see how I did that math in my head?
It's great, great mental math.
Very effective.
Shauna would be proud. She's a teacher of math. Now, full disclosure, though, Shauna and I had known each other at that point for 18 years.
Is she your sister?
No, she is the best friend
of my
sister.
The show would have taken a horrible turn. Really?
Yes.
That is full. That's important information to have.
Yeah, that's why I want to get this out there.
Wow, so you guys had known each other. Well, that's like Amy and I, though. We'd known each other for 2.5 years. Well,
slightly
I mean,
different.
Not 18 years, but 2.5 years is a long time. We traveled the world together as Yale leaders. But I don't want to get into that right now.
No, it's not. It's about me.
Okay, so you guys had known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, then what was it?
So
what flipped that switch from friend to friend?
Right. Well, so my sister is the oldest of the siblings in my family, and I'm the youngest. So there's the age discrepancy already. So when I met Shauna originally, she was just in her freshman year of college. I was still in middle school.
Nice.
Okay.
I like where this is headed. Creepy.
So, right. So she was my sister's hot friend.
Yeah.
So, of course, like, immediately, I'm like, well, hello.
Well, hello, I'm 13. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, you're the bratty little brother.
Yeah.
Right? But through the years, not just my sister and Shauna, but our whole families, each other's families, became close and friends. Like, Shauna's younger brother is best friends with my oldest brother, and we're friends with a lot of cousins and so forth. And so we've been in each other's lives ever since that point, but always just... Yeah, you're my sister's best friend.
Like,
and
cursory, kind of on the out.
Yeah. And so it wasn't until post-college for me when Sean and I started kind of developing a friendship of our own outside of my sister.
Did she go to Texas A&M like you did?
Yes, she did.
Nice. She's an Aggie.
Yep. Keeping the Aggie
Why
family.
Why are all my friends now as an adult Aggies? Because I went to Baylor University.
Well, you like to... center yourself around godly people.
I'm telling you, there's something going on because every single one of my closest friends are Aggies. Why didn't I go to A&M? I didn't know anything about it.
I don't know. We still pray for you about that.
That's fair.
So, yeah, we were living in different cities, and I was in Houston. She was in Austin, and it's actually because of Facebook that we kind of started becoming closer friends on our own, and she was just let me know. It's like, hey, whenever you're in town, let me know. We can... hang out and say hi. And it was definitely like a platonic friend thing, because again, it's her best friend's little brother just kind of looking out for me. But we started to do that and became friends, and that's all it was until a couple years later. Her and I went on a trip to see my sister, who lives overseas.
Oh, and so it was an international trip.
Yes. So I am officially an international man of mystery. So originally it was supposed to be a group of us that went. And people kept on backing out. Left
like
and
I'm
right.
giving the quote unquote, somehow everyone else fell off.
Right.
It had nothing to do with you.
What happened? No, I don't know. There was like 10 of us. Sorry, Shauna.
I like it though.
It's you and me.
Manipulative.
So it ended up being just her and I. And we even talked about it. Like, is this okay? We're like, yeah, sure. Like, we're going to see, you know, my sister, her best friend, and their family. It's going to be awesome. And so we flew over there. And after the flight, got off the plane. I remember telling her, I was like, Shauna, that's the longest we've ever hung out in the whole time we've known each other. She's like, yeah, that's true. And it's kind of odd for how long we've actually known each other. And so we spent the week overseas hanging out with my sister and her family and kind of doing some touristy things on our own.
Where was this, by the way?
It was in England.
England?
Yes.
The land of, well, no. There's really nothing romantic.
Though one day we did like, go to Paris with my sister and her husband and Sean and
I. Or the City of Lights. Could be the City of Lights and Love.
You could just mumble after the L and people like, they'd fill
the
in.
City of Love.
So what's funny is still even for the first half of the trip, it was nothing. She's like, yeah, this is my friend, that my sister's best friend, a lot of fun. But somewhere amongst the halfway mark, a little afterwards, like... kind of started looking at her a little different, like, hey,
bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Well, you know,
I like it.
Might want to hang out with this girl a little more.
Yeah.
And so we finished the trip, and you know, we come back to Houston where I'm living, and she has to drive back to where she's living, and I just realized that, man, I need to find a reason to call her again. I need to make sure she gets home all right.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Generally,
hey, are you
do.
Safe and are you available?
Right. So for the next couple days, I find reasons to call her every day, and then the third day, I'm like, okay, this is stupid unless I'm actually going to pursue this.
It's actually pretty quick. I'm impressed.
And, oh, thank you. And so I called her up and asked her out, and she gave a yes.
Was it a hesitant? There was a little hesitant on how you said it, so.
There was. And
which makes sense, though. I've been at this guy's... sister's best friend forever.
Yeah, there was a lot of things going on. And how she processed things was a bit probably too verbal for the moment as well, because she knew that she's a school teacher, so she, of course, works Monday to Friday. I'm a musician, and most of my work is on the weekends, and we live in different cities. So
when are you ever going to actually date?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So her processing was like, well, yeah, that could be fun. And she said this out loud. It's like, maybe in a couple months. And so...
You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, I'm very confused right now. How do I take this?
Yeah, I really like you.
I got the yes, but then I got the in 4 months, right? And so I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And so we just, you know, ended the conversation shortly after, and I just hung up confused. And eventually we clarified it to the point of, so that was a Wednesday night, and we kind of kept talking a little bit through the weekend. I was trying not to hound her too much in case that was a passive no. Because again, since best friends of the family, she might not want to don't want to rock the boat and cause damage to these relationships. And so, come the next week, I remember it was a Tuesday morning. I emailed her early in the morning, and I said, "Hey, what are you up to tonight?" She's like, "Well, I've got to get home, and then I'll grade some papers, eat some dinner, go back grading some papers, and I'm in bed.
Get married."
Right. She's tallied that off real quick. And so it's like, better idea. I'm going to come up tonight, and I'm going to take you out. And she said, okay.
It's a good thing she didn't go, no, I'm really okay just grading papers.
Right. Exactly. Oh. I'm really into this algebra too. Have you seen these formulas? And so because that correspondence, she's a job. She couldn't answer immediately. It took several hours. All of a sudden, I was in the pinch of, like, I had to leave town now to drive several hours to get to her city to make it happen. So I did. I drove, jumped in the shower, got cleaned up, drove
there.
See
what men will do when they're pursuing.
When we're motivated.
Where does that go after the wedding?
Just goes.
We let ourselves go. We stop exercising. We stop driving 2 hours spontaneously.
Right. So we I drove up and took her out and had no idea what. We just went to a restaurant and got some dinner and dessert. No idea where to go. Friend recommended a place. Ended up being one of her favorite places. That worked out perfectly.
Nice. That's a good friend.
Yeah. One might say that the Lord's hand was in that.
Yes.
And so it was a great night. And it wasn't like there was immediate yes is the person you're going to marry. But it was just a great time.
But nothing negative. And you knew by this time at 30, you knew what you were looking for.
Yes, exactly.
And what is that? So what does a guy at 30 in today's world, what was he looking for?
Man, so you definitely have to know that guy's priorities and filters. So because of my faith in Christ and my passion for the church, I wanted someone that was equally passionate. So, of course, everything filters through that. And Shauna was right on board and is at the same place. And so I wanted someone that was in that equal faith position.
Let me interrupt, though. Why is that important?
Well, because I don't want someone that that's basically going to argue over everything. If my filter is this standard, this biblical standard, and every decision that I make goes through that, and I have someone that has, whether it's a flexible, just ambiguous moral code or based on whatever social climate that at the time, we're going to have arguments. There's no baseline.
So it matters.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to highlight that because I feel like that's one of the – it feels like so many times – and Dr. Scott Stanley is doing a lot of research at the University of Denver on commitment and sliding versus deciding. And what he's finding is a lot of our issues with a lot of couples' issues are very much – they don't put a lot of thought into their relationship. They don't they just kind of slide into things, right? It's like they kind of start dating, and there's no real, purpose. You had a purpose. You're like, look, I like this girl, and here's my standards, and this is what I'm looking for. And so you're actually evaluating, right? You're putting thought into the process. You're not just like, oh, she's hot.
Yeah.
But that's, the worst way to start a relationship.
And let's see what happens.
Yeah, who knows? Because what happens then is that's what they do, and then they just kind of date, and next thing you know, they're living together, and it's really just out of convenience because, they were already, she's here most of the time anyways, and blah, blah, blah. And that's that sliding Stanley talks about. It feels like what you had was a purposeful sort of, yes, I can have fun and be goofy and do all that stuff, but at the same time, I actually do have some standards and some things that I need this lady to have.
Most definitely.
That I want to check off. And so you're going into it eyes wide open, that kind of an idea, as opposed to blinders on and, I don't know. I hope it all works out. Because it feels people, especially when it comes down to faith, they really think They just think, well, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's a huge deal.
And some will even go, well, I mean, but after we get married, he or she, then they'll understand and they'll come to a relationship. And a lot of times it doesn't go that way.
No, because most of the time, whatever bar you set at the beginning, that's the bar that's going to keep.
Ooh, I like that.
And so that's if you
very wise.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Sorry,
you.
I'm so shocked.
Right. Well, you know me, ish.
Ish. We're acquaintances.
Right. Close.
But let's say that again. The bar that you set up at the beginning, what'd you say?
Is the bar that you keep.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's my standard, and mm-hmm. if I lower it and ignore things like faith, I mean, whatever. Smoking, whatever, lifestyle. Oh, he parties now. But, right. I mean, he'll calm down once we get married.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
If you love someone and they're not reaching this bar, then instead of saying, yes, let's dive deeper in this relationship and then get you to meet this bar, you say, you need to meet this bar if you want to go deeper in this relationship. And you have them rise to the occasion. I mean, that shows all kinds of things. It shows, A, that they're willing to pursue, they're willing to sacrifice, and they're willing to make changes for you now because you're worth it.
Yeah. So. Ooh, I hope people are paying attention. Now, you're the son of a pastor, right?
I am.
Oh.
Yes.
So you're a PK. I'm a PK.
Oh, I knew there was a reason why we were near acquaintances.
Yeah, that's why we're so nearly bonded. What did you learn anything from your parents before you got married?
Learned lots of things from my parents.
Things that you could implement?
Oh, sure. How to tie my shoes.
About relationships.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, one thing, I mean, my dad has always been a gentleman when it comes to everything from the yes and no ma'ams and no sirs to the opening the doors to always making sure that we as men hold our ladies in such esteem that we do all these things for them, not because they can't, not because they're unwilling, but because we have
that's
that
how
much
we want
respect
to show
for.
Value.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Exactly. And so, interesting enough, all through the years, female friends of mine and my brothers as well have actually commented to us about that and how much they've thanked us for it. And we didn't really think a ton of it growing up because that's
how you
dad,
were raised.
Yeah, that's what yeah. dad did, and that's how he expected us as men to behave as well.
Man, I told you I did not want to get into the domestic violence thing going on right now with the NFL. But I feel like, I don't know about, and maybe you don't have to speak specifically about a particular friend, but it does feel like that innate value that men were taught, like your dad taught you that. I'm 41, so a little bit older, not too much older. My dad taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see that in your generation? Is there just like a, what's going on? Like, when did it become okay to hit a woman? Like, I was taught, my dad, my brother, I'm the youngest as well of three. Yeah. And, I mean, I just knew, even if a woman was attacking me, I they'd kill me if I punched her back. Like,
right.
I mean, obviously, and people always come up with those absurd. So if she had a knife to your child's throat, yes. If she has a knife to my child's throat, of course I'm going to smack her and do whatever I have to
yeah.
with whatever's available to me around me. But I'm just talking about, like, it was just innate. Mm-hmm. I knew there are lines that you'd never, ever cross. But it doesn't seem yeah. to be that way. I don't know if you experienced that with.
No, I have definitely experienced that with number of friends and people, and also I think it has a lot to do with just I don't know if this is too much, but absentee fatherism sort of deal, and
the breakup of the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Dad's not around, so then who really kind of
instills and that? Modeling these things as well.
Oh yeah, because they're actually getting modeled many times the exact opposite of that.
Right.
What was the best thing that you and Shauna did before you got married, in terms of to help set up your relationship to be healthy?
Best thing that we did, man. Well, probably the fact that both of us were grounded in who we were already and comfortable for who Christ created us to be. So we knew our own identity already.
So you didn't have to be married.
No.
You weren't desperate.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Now, there's definitely seasons and times where I'm, like, just really longing.
Would love to have been, but.
Yeah, and I'm surrounded by friends who I love. They're married, and I want to be a part of that. But overall, like, in prayers I've prayed, like, God, let me be satisfied in you. If this is something you want to give me, I'll take it. And if not, you know, then I'll be satisfied in you.
That's a huge key, by the way. And I'm telling you that I don't, well, there are things, obviously, that you can do, but it is so damaging to set up a marriage if the attitude of both or either person are desperate. If right. This is a thing that I have to have, marriage is too complicated and difficult. It's not always going to be easy and wonderful. And if you go into it with, I have to have it, then those downtimes are going to be magnified, right? Right.
Yeah.
So that's cool. All right. So
Shauna,
you were in a good place individually. You knew who you were. You knew mm-hmm. who you were looking for. You felt confident in that. And you didn't have to have it. It was just a nice thing because this was a good person.
Right. And without having conversations about it until much later, Shauna was in the same place. And, of course, she's also, you know, socially, possibly more pressure on her and biologically. And the fact that, you know, she is a few years older and then the whole, you know, women should be married by a certain age and then have kids and all that. She'd also reached the same point of like, okay, God, this is something I would love. But if you're
it
not,
it would be
in,
nice.
Yeah,
but not a must. Not a it has to, or exactly. I will be miserable.
It's not a promise that we're made. Uh-huh. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Now, something that we lacked on is that we did not go through any premarital counseling.
Oh, that was the thing you messed up.
Yes, we did do some reading. Shauna was definitely better at it than I was.
That's typical, normal.
Yeah. So that was definitely a mess up. We used a bit of an excuse of the counseling that we tried to get, and the group that we tried to go through was like the church that we were a part of. The only time they did the premarital counseling was times that I was serving at other churches.
Ah, doing worship.
Mm-hmm. So we tried to make it work several times, but it didn't happen. And because of how relatively short our engagement was,
yeah,
as
I know
well,
how that is.
There just wasn't much of a window.
Well, Amy and I didn't do it either.
Really?
And no, we didn't do an ounce. I think our premarital education consisted of 1 hour with our pastor in Waco, Texas, that was marrying us, and he was basically, I don't even know if it was an hour. Like, I walked in, he's like, well, you're Gary Smalley's son. So, of course, you know, I'm like, yeah, I know everything. I'm like 21, an idiot, not running down my nose.
Really, 21?
Yeah, it's actually, I have a drooling problem, but I didn't want to get into that.
Fair enough.
So we didn't do premarital education either. And if I, whenever I meet young couples today or they come up to me at a seminar at church or whatever, that is by far the most important advice that I give is that, and here's what backs it up. For couples who do at least 8 hours of premarital education or more, okay, so 8 hours,
mm-hmm.
and we have a one-day engaged intensive that couples can do, that's 8 hours long. There's a class that you can take that's eight weeks long, whatever. For those couples who do that, there's only a 20% divorce rate.
Okay.
Like, so literally, if you could get people to just get premarital education, you're talking about cutting the divorce rate in the United States by half. And if that's like, you know, sometimes people look at me and they think, well, that's just pie in the, yeah, we're all, I'm sure. In communities like Modesto, California, Chattanooga, Tennessee, somewhere in Oklahoma, they actually implemented where, because the vast majority of people get married in a church of some sort, synagogue, you know.
Right.
And for these communities, what they did is they rallied and got all the religious leaders of all the main religions, so a whole bunch mm-hmm. of them. And got them all to agree that no one gets married in our church or our synagogue or our mosque without going through premarital education.
Huh.
And for the communities like Modesto and Chattanooga that did that, divorce in those communities mm-hmm. decreased over half.
Wow.
Like this, and this has been going on for well over a decade now.
Wow, that's amazing.
Like, it's pretty dang important, and it doesn't seem like anyone knows. Did you know that we have at thesmalleyinstitute.com that we actually have an online engaged course?
No, I did not.
Well, we do.
And it's smalleyinstitute.com?
Smalleyinstitute.com. And it's actually called engaged. But it gives the kind of critical skills that a couple needs to be able to resolve conflict.
Okay.
Because I'm assuming that you and Shauna didn't have a lot of conflict leading up to the marriage.
No.
The
no.
wedding. Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, I mean, and you shouldn't, right? You shouldn't. Right. Like, it really makes me nervous for people that are on again, off again, on and you know. Yeah. It should. This is the easiest it ever is. And would you agree to that, actually? Would you say that before you got married was the easiest time in your relationship as compared to after being married?
You know, I would say it's
been... Why do you
look
so nervous?
It's been about the same.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because you were more mature when you got married.
I honestly think that is.
I know, I hate you.
a big part of it. Our nearly close friendship is over.
Yes. Our almost acquaintance is done just in this half hour.
No, I...
Well, can I say, though, that's a testimony to being ready to be married. See, I would argue my wife and I, we had a miserable honeymoon, a disastrous first year, and we really had to grow up together, which we did, and we were committed, and it's better today than it's ever been. But we could have saved ourselves a lot of heartache and growth pains had we been more prepared. And so I know some people freak out about that age, like 29, 28. Oh, man, I just look at it. It's an opportunity to be the healthiest before you get into marriage.
Yeah. And to even go back to a question I started to answer a long time ago about the first year, I mean, our first year, easy. Like, we didn't have the stereotypical struggle. And we talked about it often. We're like,
when's it going to hit?
Right. Yeah. And we're like, is this the hard part? I mean, this is the hard part, man.
This is good.
Easy. And for sure, we have our arguments and struggles, but nothing that, like, freaked us
nothing
out.
Intense.
Or yeah, exactly.
Where you doubted and thought, whoa.
Yeah.
That was my wife and I. When we, man, our honeymoon, we were both like, yeah, I got tricked, or what was I thinking, or this was a major, and that's hard. That's a hard way to begin. And if not for our faith, that kept us together. The fact that my dad was a famous marriage, it was like, man, geez, I can't
kind of locked into
and
this
like,
one.
Yeah. But those are perfectly valid reasons to stay together. And that's where I want to encourage folks if it is hard right now, the reality is there are things you can learn to make it easier. And when you learn how to resolve conflict with communication methods, when you learn how to forgive, when you learn how to be patient, when you learn how to take a time out and not stay engaged in the conflict in that moment, all those little things add up to really making a major impact in your relationship.
Yeah, and I know, honestly, I think Shauna, because she, at the time we got married, had been a teacher for 14 years already. Like, I believe without a doubt the Lord had already taught her so much patience and...
With toddlers.
Yeah.
What age does she teach?
High school.
Does she?
Yes.
She doesn't teach second graders?
No.
Because that would have prepared her better for you.
Right.
Cuts me deep. What you're saying is your wife's 14 years teaching, immature teenagers is what prepared her for
raising
being married
hormone
to you.
Teenagers that make poor life choices.
Who are inconsistent.
Right. I do sincerely believe that for us, that was a great thing because... I know issues that I have, and even though I tried to act like they don't exist at times, and she's had the patience.
Like a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. She's had the patience and grace to help me see those and work through them. And I'm sure there's something that I do that helps her, but I don't know what it is. But
we'll have to get her on next.
Right.
It might be a very short, quick show, though. So what does he do?
I do love him.
He kills bugs.
Yeah. He stomps on the bugs. Well, Seth, I want to thank you for coming by the studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And just to summarize, folks, what happens, the greatest thing that Seth said, so you were the expert in that moment.
All right.
But before getting married, A, was being purposeful. So you guys didn't go into it blind. You both were looking for specific things like faith and personality and qualities, and that mattered.
Yeah.
And then being mature in the sense of, We weren't desperate, so we didn't have to. We wanted it, and I'd loved it. It would be lovely if, but you were at a place maturity-wise that, well, Lord, I'm open to whatever you want. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, I'm okay too.
It was not going to define either of us.
Yeah, and even if you're married, if your marriage defines you, that's going to be a major source of conflict. Because with that attitude, then when your spouse misbehaves in some way, it's far more catastrophic. Because for me to be happy, I need you to be healthy. And that's a bad place to be in. And then you would say the biggest mistake the two of you made, though, was not getting sound premarital education.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, which I would agree. I didn't either. It really hurt us. You guys had an advantage because you were wiser, mature. You weren't 21 like right. I was. Then we started having kids really early, too. Well, thank you, Seth, for coming in.
Yeah.
This show, as always, is brought to you by the Smalley Institute. If your relationship is on life support, reignite your marriage in just 2 days. Give us a call at 1-800-975-8748. Or, as always, you can visit us online at smalleyinstitute.com. Now, I'm thinking that as I come to this part, there's really one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.
But I want to leave you with the requested song from Seth. This is U2's latest song, Seth. What is it?
The Miracle of Joey Ramone.
All right. Thanks for listening. I was chasing.